Hey, what's going on, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson.
Welcome to Miss Into Podcast, the Kelly Clarkson fan podcast. The very first podcast dedicated to the original idol, Kelly Clarkson. Here are your hosts, Jeremy and Pam.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Miss Into Podcast, the Kelly Clarkson fan podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And my name is Pam. And today we're back with an episode that I thought of while I was washing dishes. I don't know why inspiration strikes the most random time, but for some reason, this came up in my head. I'm like, I don't think we've done this yet. So today we're going to be talking about notable acts, like pretty, you know, well-known artists who have covered Kelly, like recorded. So it's like you can listen on Spotify, Apple, whatever. Not like there's obviously a lot of artists that have covered her that maybe did it live, but we're specifically focusing on people that have like released music. There's a lot more than I thought. You know, yeah. I started the list and Jeremy finished the list and I missed a lot. So thank you for that. But there's a lot that I forgot about too, and a lot of random tracks as well. So it's not just like your typical, there's a lot of Since You've Been Gone's and, you know, Hazel Eyes and Stronger's, but there's also some other random gems in there.
Yeah. And like Pam said, I mean, a lot of Kelly's songs have been covered. In fact, you could probably look up just about any song and you'll find somebody covering it on YouTube. And while we would love to give them props for their efforts, this is going to be more, like Pam said, along the lines of more notable artists. There's a lot of people out there who cover songs that we'd have to make this a series. We would have to break it down by album with the amount of people that cover stuff. So we are going to try to keep it to notable artists who have covered, but you can obviously find lots of different covers from people out there. And this was a really interesting exercise because I'd never thought to look for other artists who have covered Kelly. There's just a few that I knew of off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize the sheer volume of people that there were out there that have covered Kelly.
And also, like, okay, I've definitely been on record saying this. Like, I'm kind of a snob when it comes to when people cover her, because I'm in that, like, territory. I'm like, she's can do no wrong. Why would people, you know, cover her music? Because I'm just annoying like that. But, like, as I'm listening to some of these songs, I still feel like that. But then there's some that I'm like, oh, these are actually really good. And, like, yes, of course, I do prefer Kelly's, except there's one song that I actually prefer the cover.
Oh, wow.
I know. That's controversial, but I will tell you. Towards the end, I will tell you who it is.
Okay.
I know. That's a little plot twist for you. But some of these are actually pretty good. And again, like a lot that I kind of forgot about and some I didn't even know. So I'm excited to dive into this.
Pam, this is not exactly the topic that I thought we were going to be interjecting about before the start of this week's episode. Bit of news in the last few days in the Kelly world.
Yeah, and to preface, like we, if you've been listening to our podcast for the last almost 3 years, we definitely have made it known that we don't like talking about any sort of like tabloidy stuff, whether that's Kelly's personal life, whatever that might be. This I was a little iffy about talking about, but this isn't really tabloidy. This is just like matter of fact. So we're not going to get too crazy into this. It's, you know, all the news with the Kelly Clarkson show. There have been some allegations that have been released about some of the producers and the staff on there not treating some of the other staff appropriately. And there's a lot to process. There's just a lot going on. And we're not going to get in a lot into it because at the end of the day, it is neither of our business. It's none of your business. It's really the only business it belongs to is the people involved. And unfortunately, it is now out to the masses.
Yeah. And while we're not going to get, you know, too in the weeds about who said what and what may be going on, I think the one thing I do want to touch on is the general reaction to the news. Just to paraphrase, because I even saw people like Saturday morning going, hey, what's going on in Kelly world? Here's the 30-second rundown. Like Pam said, a Rolling Stone article came out on Friday morning with allegations from 11 staffers who either used to work or currently work on the Kelly Clarkson show, saying that they found the environment behind the scenes to be very toxic. Like Pam said, again, it's primarily directed towards producers and production managers. It has absolutely nothing to do with Kelly. Everybody who had complaints about their time on the show said that Kelly was wonderful, and they have their doubts that she even has any clue of what's going on. After that came out, a couple of hours later, NBC released a statement saying that they take these kinds of allegations very seriously. Anything that is brought up to the HR department, because that was another area that these former and current employees were complaining about, was that they took their concerns to HR and nothing was done. They said that everything is handled on a case-by-case basis. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but they said that they do take all of this stuff seriously. And then we didn't get anything else for the rest of the day until late Friday night. I mean, if you're on the West or the East Coast, rather, you were probably, good chance you might have already been asleep. But Kelly herself did release a statement late into the night, essentially saying that anybody feeling unheard or disrespected on the show is unacceptable, and that she strives to have a very positive atmosphere. Again, I'm paraphrasing. I'm not quoting her directly. But she wants to make sure that regardless of where her team works, whether it's in LA or next season in New York, that they are the best and the kindest in the business, and that everybody, including herself and senior staff, are going to go through leadership training, and that she wants to make sure that this idea that there's toxicity behind the scenes of her show ends right away. And I think that that was a good statement for her to release. She needed to say something, unfortunately, yeah, because we saw this happen to, the best example is the Ellen show, but hers is not even this, the only example. We saw it with the James Corden show, the Late Late Show.
Those were specifically targeted towards the hosts.
Correct. And yes. Yes.
It's a little different, but yeah.
Yeah, that was going to be my point, is that a lot of the other shows that we heard this happen about, a lot of times the host themselves was involved. This case, everyone is making it very clear. It's not Kelly. The problem is that you're going to have people who just read the headlines. And I even saw, I think it was Page Six out of New York, said, you know, people behind the scenes at the Kelly Clarkson show say, you know, they work for a monster. I mean, they phrase these things, A, for clickbait, and B, it sounds like it's Kelly. And so that's the hard part about this, is that Kelly's name is on the show, which is why she had to say something. So her name's on the show. The buck stops here as it is. And so she ultimately is the face of everyone who works behind her. And she was forced to come out and take action. And I applaud her for doing so. The part, and this is going to be a part where, like Pam said, you know, we stay out of the tabloid stuff. So this is about all we're really going to say about the allegations and all that. That's going to get figured out on its own. The uncomfortable conversation we have to have is about us, is about the fan base, and the rush to judgment that people make based off of very little information. And I'm not discounting any of those people who said that they had a bad experience. If they say they had a bad experience, we have to take them at their word until it's proven to be not true, if it is. So there were a lot of keyboard warriors throughout the day on Friday. There were people who were taking the side of the producers, saying, you know, oh, these people are making this up, they're lies. There were people who were on the side of the people who were making the allegations, like, oh yeah, I've heard this about such and such producer, or I've heard this about the people behind the scenes, and it's crazy, and you know, they deserve better. You can hear what you want to hear, but the fact is that we're not there. None of us are. And so I ask you to be cautious before you type that tweet, before you post that comment, before you say anything publicly. does what you're saying move the conversation forward, or are you just contributing to the nonsense that's out there, the pitchfork holding, the torch bearing, does what you're about to say help? Because this is, frankly, it's none of our business. It just gets put out there because they're in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
And this is going to get sorted out one way or another. You know, the NBC/the producers say it's not what they said. These people say it is what they said. Somebody's not telling the whole story, and it's going to get figured out. They're going to figure out how to fix this because Kelly is too viable of a commodity. They cannot afford to have this show implode. They just can't. I mean, it's the most popular daytime talk show outside of, I don't know what Kelly and Mark's ratings are these days, but Kelly is one of, if not the most popular daytime talk show. They have to have this work. And so they're going to fix it. Now, if you could indulge me for a second here, Pam, before I kind of go on this little bit of extra.
Yeah, because I have some comments as well.
Yeah, before I go on this extra Jeremy rant, I want you to have your say.
Oh, sure. And yeah, again, like, you know, we're not taking a side because, again, like, I, you know, I will always, I side with people who say that they were abused and affected. Like, I believe them. On the other hand, again, kind of what Jeremy said, I'm just reading an article and it's really not my business to take a side because I don't have a say in this. So no one needs my opinion. And my point being there is, you know, I don't want to tell people what to do, and I am not calling out one specific person. I promise you that. But because this has really nothing to do with the fans, please respect everyone's privacy. Everyone who is involved, whether they're involved directly or indirectly by just working on the show, but everyone who works on that show is involved in this somehow. Respect everyone's privacy. Don't tag them in tweets. Don't message them asking for info. It's none of our business. Just, it's a really traumatic thing that all of them have to process. So just like, let them be.
The thing that I want to say is that I saw a lot of people on social media message boards. I saw a lot of people saying, Kelly needs to do this. They need to do this. They should do this. They have to do this. Nobody has to do or should do or needs to do anything.
Like, are you a publicist? Are you a PR person? Like, I mean, if you are, fine, but
it's,
I don't know.
And guys, I know that this is going to come from the two of us. It's going to sound like, oh, well, you two are, you're in, you know,
you're too into it.
Yeah. You're too close to it. You're Kelly Homers. You're in the circle. Like,
you know, the band. We don't know anything. When I saw this tweet go out, I was like, holy shit, what is going on? Like, we don't know that much, I promise you.
Yeah, and the first thing that I thought of was I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
Because we've said it over and over again on this show, even just sort of assuming it. We're like, yeah, the Kelly Clarkson Show is a big family. They're all, you know, working hard together. They're doing great television, you know, because we have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. So we can't speak to that. Just like how now some of the things are allegedly coming out that could be going on behind the scenes, we still can't speak to that, even though some of the accounts have been published in a magazine. And I have seen so many hot takes over this, over the course of 24 hours, that you would have thought that the Kelly Clarkson Show staff has roughly 2,000 to 3,000 people on it. But yeah, the majority of them just work on message boards and social media. It's one of those cases where, you know, the allegations came out and immediately a lot of people went to defend Kelly because, again, it's her name on the show. It's her reputation. And it reminded me a lot of like how you can't go online and you can't say anything bad about Taylor Swift or Beyonce or BTS because the minute you mention them in a tweet or an Instagram post or something, or you tag them, you've got their fan bases that just come out of the woodwork and attack you. And I always thought that like the Kelly fan base was different. We were like a different level altogether. And I didn't really like what I saw from the fan base that Friday after the news came out, because there was a lot of like infighting. Like, I can understand when people are fighting over, you know, what songs are good, what songs should be singles, what albums are superior, what tour, because those are opinions about how you feel about music and how it matters to your life. Let's all just step back, take a pill, and let things play out. Okay? Let the people who are actually needing to deal with this deal with it. Let's just all come together and hope for the best for all parties involved. We want the people that are feeling overworked, abused, neglected, ignored. We want those people to have just as good of a resolution to their issues as the producers who are being accused of these things, of the production managers who are being accused of these things, of the people whose lives and livelihood are being dragged through the mud because of these allegations. So let's come together as a fan base and just hope for an amicable, positive resolution to all of this, because that is what ends up benefiting all of us.
My last thing is just like, I get why people, you know, went online and were automatically like supporting Kelly and saying all this is false. Cause obviously, like, you know, at the end of the day, we're all huge fans and we want to support her and we want her to be in a positive light. Like, I understand that. So like, I get where people are coming from. Don't get me wrong. And of course, I don't want her to be shown as like a terrible host and terrible boss. Of course, that would be horrible. But there's a line that can be crossed with this kind of circumstance, when it's, again, such like a hard and intimate issue that they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to say one thing, and I don't want it to come across as the two of us preaching, oh, well, we handled this professionally and people didn't, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't want that to be conveyed. I think, I don't want to speak for you. I know for me, I'm sure over the course of my years of being a fan, like, I've probably done shit like this where I'm just like, oh my God, how could these things come out? But like, now that I've been working in this field for as long as I have, I know when it's appropriate to put on that hat and when it's time to just take a step back. And I think that just comes with our jobs and us like working sometimes like so closely with talent and just knowing that like, it's not our business. We need to chill for a bit. So I just wanted to like preface that, like, I don't want it to come across as like, we're so holy and y'all aren't. That's not,
no,
that is not what I'm trying to convey. My biggest thing is just respect people's privacies and just, again, like, kind of like let this sort itself out, because it's not like, you know, yesterday, like, the people at the show and people at NBC were just like chilling, watching the Twitter feeds blow up. Like, there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. It's a big PR emergency, essentially.
Yeah.
There was Friday was probably a shit show for all parties involved, whether that's mm-hmm. Kelly herself, NBC, hell, even Atlantic at some point, because it's just like a big PR thing. And it doesn't help that the upfronts are probably coming up soon. So there's just like
yesterday.
The upfronts?
Yeah, the NBC upfronts, I believe, were either Thursday or Friday.
Oh, boy. So there's just like a lot going on. So I wanted to like, I want to make sure that people know that's not what we're trying to get across. But the end of the day, just let it ride its course. There's going to be a lot of trolls on the internet. Let them do their thing. Whatever. But respect people's privacy right now, for everyone who's involved. And the more that this gets spoken about, the more it's going to blow up. And I think it's really important right now for us as fans to support Kelly and give her love and support her music that's coming out. We're getting a new song in a few days. We're getting Favorite Kind of High. I think that should be our main focus right now, is amping the shit out of that online and supporting her in any way that we can, because that's what she needs right now.
Kind of an awkward, uncomfortable conversation to have. Like Pam said, you know, we're not taking any one particular side. We're on Team Kelly Clarkson as a whole, as everyone who works with and for her. So we just want to see it all get resolved, and hopefully everybody can come away from it better. And we'll keep you guys posted as far as what's going on. You know, we tend to generally just know what everybody else knows as far as what's released. And especially when it comes to something sensitive like this, a lot of the information is going to be pretty closely held to the vest. So we're not going to get any sort of special information. And so we'll share with what we know. We'll post on socials if things come out, but otherwise, sorry to sort of start the episode off a little heavy, but it's a heavy topic, and we had to address it because we would be doing ourselves a disservice if we ignored it and acted like it wasn't going on. I mean, we cover all of the aspects of Kelly's career, and this is certainly a part of it. You know, the talk show is a part of Kelly's career, and we felt like we needed to talk about it. So we invite your guys' input. So you can always tweet at us or send us messages on social at Miss Into Podcast if you want to talk more about this. But just know that we're not going to be pot stirrers. We're not going to, you know, try to rile people up on either particular side. You can have your say. You can say what you need to say. But just know that, you know, we're not going to go any one particular way because it really doesn't help anything, honestly. So with that, let's try to bring up the levity a little bit. Let's get into our episode today.
Should we get started?
Let's do it.
Okay. So the very first one, we're going to kind of pretty much... Oh, wait. Did you do this alphabetically?
I did. Yeah. I kind of changed them around alphabetically.
I put it in chronological order in terms of when the Kelly song came out. But you... Okay. So we'll go...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. It's fine. We'll go in chronological order. That might be easier for our listeners.
Chronological or alphabetical?
Oh my God, guys, I'm tired. We're going to go in alphabetical order. I'm so sorry. Alphabetical. However, the first one is both alphabetical and chronological. God, so many words. The first one is A Moment Like This. It was recorded and released by Leona Lewis in 2006. And it was her debut song after she won X Factor in the UK, and it was number one in the UK. I like it, and I think she sounds really good, but I feel like there's not a lot of emotion in here, and she's just singing it to, like, hit the notes.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, like, my only critique. Like, she sounds great, but there's... I mean, even though we know Kelly, like, didn't love the song, like, you can tell that there's still some, like, sentiment there. I feel like with this, it's just like, let's hit the high notes. I won the talent show. Let's show the world. I mean, clearly it was a success. It did go number one, but that's my critique.
You know, I when I listened to this song, because I haven't listened to this version in years and years and years, Leona Lewis's career is what would have happened if they screwed up Kelly Clarkson's career.
Oh.
Because Leona Lewis is a phenomenal singer, and her debut album was really, really good. And I think that the people around her, maybe even her label, I think everyone dropped the bag. Like, they really ruined her career for her. I don't think they put her with the right writers. And it makes me think, like, that could have been Kelly in that instance. And I know that Leona was a little more successful over in the UK than, say, Kelly was over there, and say she and Leona was over here. But nonetheless, I feel like Leona Lewis is sort of an unfortunate case, because I think she could have been a really, really big star and a really, really cool talent had her career been managed better.
Yeah, like what? She had like two songs here?
Kind
of,
yeah.
Leading Love and Better in Time, I think it was called. That's all I can think of off the top of my head, but maybe there was more.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's unfortunate what, you know, sort of has transpired with her career, at least in the U.S. is concerned. But when it comes to this cover, I actually do like it. I see your points that you're saying about it, about how she doesn't seem to really be, like, immersing herself in the song and really feeling the depth of the song.
Yeah.
So with that case, I mean, again, I'm going to like Kelly's version better. But this is a very good version of the song.
Yeah, yeah. The next song I wasn't aware of... or the cover, at least. It's Beautiful Disaster by Jax, who was on American Idol a couple years ago. And the version is online, like, for streaming.
Yeah.
this is definitely more in the vein of like the Breakaway piano version. So mm-hmm. I don't mind it. It's pretty good. I kind of like it. I don't have a ton of notes on it. It's like a nice cover.
Yeah, I didn't actually. I mean, the first time I ever knew who Jax was, I actually saw her on TikTok.
Yeah, same.
I didn't know that she was on American Idol because she was on season 14, and by the time she got onto American Idol, I think at the time she was like 18 years old or something, I was done with the show. I wasn't watching anymore. And if I'm not mistaken, I think this is the season that Nick Frattiani won the show, which sure. he was kind of like one of the first winners that I didn't really know anything about because I didn't watch the season. And so when I saw that it was Jax, who, I mean, if you know her song Victoria's Secret, she's kind of, you know, big right now. I was really, really surprised to see that she did this cover. And yeah, it's a pretty cover. I like the whole piano of it all. I think it's a little bit, it almost sounds like a little bit big of a song for her. Yeah. But at the same time, she was like 18 years old when she was singing this song. So I would want to hear her sing it as she is today, who is, you know, a bit older. Maybe her voice has matured a little bit more. But it's okay. It's an okay cover.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Next song is one we all know we're not going to get into too much. It's Because of You with Reba. So yes, technically it was a Reba cover because it was on Reba's duets album, and she did bring Kelly on as the featured artist. But yes, it is technically a cover. Released in 2007. I definitely prefer the original, but this one's fine. I love the music video. Those are my notes. We've spoken about this a lot before.
We have, and I can't remember if I've said this or not, but I really don't listen to this version.
Same.
It's fine. It's good. You know, it's cool to hear Reba and Kelly together, especially, you know, at the time when they recorded this, we knew how much respect that Kelly had and adoration that Kelly had for Reba. So the fact that they not only recorded this song together, but then they would later go on tour together, it was really cool to see that for Kelly. You know, you love that for her. But since then, you know, I don't really think a lot about this particular duet. I just think of it as sort of one of her first really big duets.
And yeah.
Maybe one of the first really big covers of her career. So it was cool to see. It was cool to see, you know, a young Kelly Clarkson's song get covered by one of the biggest names in country music. So
still,
it's kind of good for her.
Still salty. We didn't get A Lot Like You. We got this instead. But if you're going to listen to this, watch the music video. The music video is really good. I like it. It's like a period piece. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Next is we're going to go into Behind These Hazel Eyes. So the first one is from a band I never heard of. This was just my research, but apparently they're a really big Australian like pop punk band. They're called Glass Rides, and they released a cover in 2019 of Hazel Eyes. I really like it. It reminds me.
Me too.
I really like it. And it reminds me a lot of, I don't know if they still make them, but I remember like in the like 2000s, they did, there was a big series or compilations called Pop Goes Punk.
I vaguely remember this.
Punk Goes Pop. I forgot what the, whatever. But basically it was a lot of punk artists covering popular pop songs, and they would do like their take on it. So this definitely would have fit in that. It's called, the band's called Glass Rides. Really fun.
Yeah, it's a fun, like, upbeat cover. I was shocked how much I actually liked this song and this version. Again, it's hard when it's, you know, one of Kelly's biggest hits to, you know, outdo the original. But for a rock band, and look, I was impressed.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
The next one is Cassidy Pope, who actually on season 3 of The Voice did a version of this, and it's been out on Spotify and Apple. And I think it's pretty good. I think I don't love it, but I think because she's kind of unique, where she has a bit of the both country background and she has like the pop punk background from mm-hmm. her Hey Monday days, she can pull it off.
Yeah.
Because that's like, you know, Kelly can definitely pull off like the pop rock stuff and the country stuff. So it's a little rare when you get an artist that can really go in both avenues. I don't absolutely love this cover, but I think she did a good job.
Yeah, I was a little surprised because I never really followed The Voice until Kelly showed up. And so, and Cassidy Pope is really the biggest name
yeah.
that has come out of the show, at least as far as success wise. You know, we're obviously a little too close to it when it comes to people who have won from Team Kelly, because, you know, we were rooting for them the whole way. And so we sort of remember the Bryn Cartellis and the Jake Hoots of the world and the Chevelle Shepherds. But I mean, let's be honest, like, they have not reached the level of success yet that someone like a Cassidy Pope, who even still has only sort of made it to like the near upper levels yeah. of country music. You know, she's still you know, fighting to sort of have that big giant breakthrough hit. And so, you know, hearing this song, it was so weird because it felt very covery to me.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't feel like a song that she was really feeling it, you know, and that, you know, she was like owning the song. It just felt like she was singing someone else's song. It's a solid cover, don't get me wrong, but it's like when you go and you see a cover band, or you're like out at a bar and you see someone cover a song and you think to yourself, man, that was actually really good. You know, this is a pretty good band. They're not bad. That's how I felt when I heard Cassidy singing Hazel Eyes, because yeah, it's a serviceable cover. It's good. She's a good singer. I would rather hear her own stuff.
Yeah, I completely get where you're going with this. So yeah, it's good, but it like definitely sounds like a cover, which is like, I don't know if you always want that, but it is the voice. So I guess that's kind of the point.
The next one is the cover that I think we all really kind of were interested in hearing and actually getting. And it took a while, several years.
Took 18 years.
But we finally got it. Yeah. But we finally got it. And that is Avril Lavigne's cover of Breakaway. Now, of course, we know that Avril was the original writer of the song, or one of the writers on the song. And she put it on her 20th anniversary of her Let Go album. And I got to say, I mean, there are parts of it when I listen to this song that I think, okay, yeah, that sounds very Avril. That sounds like who she was at that time in her life when she was still a teenager. And, you know, because it is sort of like almost speaking like a teenager in Breakaway, the way that she conveys the message of wanting to get away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, that sounds like something a teenager would say. And so I buy it a lot more when I hear it coming from Avril, because even though she is well into her 30s now, she still reminds me, when I hear her voice, I still hear that teenage kind of angsty pop rock singer in there. And so when I hear her sing Breakaway, I'm just like, okay, yeah, I buy this. I buy that you feel these lyrics. It obviously helps that she wrote the lyrics. But yeah, it's actually one of the better covers on this list that we have.
It's really funny that it, like, a song that she wrote is still a cover for her. It's just kind of funny how that works.
Well, and it's not the only occasion of that happening on this list.
That's right. I had to think about that for a split second. Yeah, I like it. You know, had it not been like, you know, had this just been like a normal cover, like had she not written it and it was just like a normal cover, I would be like, meh, not a fan. But like, I liked that it was kind of full circle. So I don't love it. Nothing against Avril. I just think that like her, I think it was smart when she did not put this out 18 years ago, because I don't think it like is the proper song for her. That's nothing against her. I just like don't think it's like the kind of song that's like best suited for her voice and her style. So
when she even said that it didn't really fit the tone of her album.
Exactly. So, and I just still don't think it's really like a great song for her as an artist, but I get why she put it out, and it's not bad. It's just like, it's, I don't know, it just, it seemed a little off. But again, like, she did a good version. So and I just thought it was really cute and full circle though that she did put it out. So I like that. The next song is one that I just think is great to include on this list. One of the songs that I always talk about ad nauseum that I love, it is the Japanese bonus track from All I Ever Wanted titled Can We Go Back. Yes, there is a cover of it that actually came out only about 2 months after All I Ever Wanted came out. It's by a Japanese singer. Her name is Kumi Koda. I hope I'm saying that correct. And it's cool that it was a Japanese deluxe single or song rather, and then a Japanese artist covered it 2 months later. I really like it. She stays very similar to like the melody and the beat and everything. It sounds very true to the original. She does change up a lot of the lyrics. So if I'm not mistaken, I think it's partially in English and partially in Japanese, which is really, I wish I spoke Japanese because I don't know what she's saying, but it sounds awesome. So I like it. I think she did a really great job.
Yeah. When I first listened to this, the going back and forth with the lyrics was a little jarring at first, but it was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've never heard a Kelly song that go, I mean, outside of I Dare You, you know, where you kind of go back and forth with the language in the song. And it was an interesting way to hear the song. You know, I like this. I like the original so much that it was hard for me to really get into the cover for this one. And it is such a weird thing because it's a weird song to cover because it's not, you know, a song
no
that's
one
on
knows
anyone's
it.
Radar.
No one knows it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our next one is another appearance by an American Idol contestant. We go back to season 14 of American Idol, and the guy who ultimately would end up winning the show, Nick Frattiani, doing a cover of Catch My Breath. You can hear this one on streaming as well still to this day. And, you know, again, I got to say, you know, this was a part where I was checked out from American Idol. I actually, my radio station here did a lounge with Nick. I want to say, I don't know, a few months after he won Idol or something like that. It was when he was kind of out on a radio tour, sort of pimping out his first single. I mean, he played a few songs and it was fine and everything. And I sort of didn't pay him any mind because I'm like, okay, we're so far down the rabbit hole of Idol. You know, there's by this point, you know, Idol had started to not have big success with their winners on the charts. So I sort of kind of wrote him off. This cover is okay. I think it's probably one of my least favorite on the list.
I thought he did a good job. It was definitely a bit more like, I guess, stripped down than the original version. I thought it was fine, but it really sounds like karaoke.
Yeah. And I think that's where it bothers me because I love this song. I really, really like Catch My Breath a lot. And so to hear it done in a way that I didn't really love, I mean, it just kind of threw the whole thing off for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Next one, admittedly, I really like. It is Cry. It is a cover by Lea Michele / the Glee cast that they did during season 3. I think she did a really good job with this. I really enjoyed it. But I thought it was a little random that they did Cry because Cry like wasn't like a hit or anything. But that made it even cooler because you were not expecting it.
Yeah, I mean, for as much baggage as Lea Michele kind of carries with her when it comes to, you know, what people think of her and, you know, the way that she's been sort of portrayed, you know, it's kind of easy to just say, oh, you know, this is bad because it's Lea Michele. I mean, at the end of the day, she is a phenomenal singer and she nails this song.
Yeah. I thought she did. On the contrary, the next song, though, I really did not like.
This is my least favorite. I mean, The Catch My Breath by Nick Frattiani is like second least. This is my least favorite.
This is Dark Side that was also covered by the Glee cast. And I guess Darren Criss is the lead. Nothing against Darren Criss. He's really talented. But this is just, it's just so corny. It is like Glee. It is Glee Club. Oh. Like, it's just not. It so removes the emotion of the original song.
Yeah, I hate the arrangement of this. Yeah. It sounds bad. It doesn't stay true to the song. You don't feel any emotion from it. I mean, it's Glee. So, I mean, there's that. But yeah, this was, I watched this. I got to admit, I didn't watch the whole thing.
No, me neither. Because
I didn't like it so much. I was like, I can't finish this. This is just bad.
It's pretty bad. The next one is an interesting one. It is I Dare You. So, you know, not that old of a song. It's only 3 years old. It was covered by Trisha Yearwood in 2021 for her deluxe album for her. It's called Every Girl. But she renamed the song as I Dare You to Love. Here's my statement. I like this better than Kelly's versions.
I can see that.
I really like this one. And nothing against Kelly. I love you. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing this. But for some reason, like, this actually, like, this sold me. Like, this is, like, this sounds like a nice ballad, and it actually got me interested in the lyrics, and I wanted to listen to the whole thing. And I don't know, maybe the Kelly version, I just don't love the production. I don't know what it is. I've never been able to, like, point my finger on it, but, like, I like Trisha's version a lot. And I don't know much by Trisha Yearwood. I'm not going to lie, guys. Like, I'm not going to consider myself a fan of hers. I really like this version a lot.
I do too. This is a lot of fun to listen to. And I like I Dare You just fine. It's a song. It's out there. It's part of her repertoire. But there is something about Trisha's delivery in this song that, like, I don't know if it sells it for me better or if it's just more of a cohesive, like, focused effort. I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. Like, it's hard to put, like, my finger on what it is about this version that I like so much, but it is a very, very good version.
Yeah, I like it. Now we're going back to Glee. I promise it's not the Glee episode, but we have another Glee song. My Life Would Suck Without You, that the Glee cast did. They did it in season one. And I remember this, like, watching Glee. Yes, I did watch Glee.
Because this is the first Kelly song they covered. Yeah, in the whole,
and,
like,
it was really
series.
And it was really early on.
Yeah.
This is an example, I would say, like, not necessarily the most quality performance, but it was a lot of fun. And I just, yeah. If you watch the actual video, like, the scene, it was just like a really, like, feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a lot of notes. It's, like, cute. It's nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I think it was just we were so excited to see a Kelly song show up on Glee because I think it's like episode 13 or something, the show that the song shows up. And by that point, you know, you kind of knew the formula of the show. They were going to play, you know, a bunch of pop songs and, you know, some older songs, but you were sort of waiting to see what artists they were going to cover next. And you sort of knew that they were eventually going to get around to Kelly. I was actually a little surprised, even though, you know, the All I Ever Wanted album was a little closer to this time. I was actually surprised that this was the first Kelly song that they went to. I thought for sure that they would go to something off of Breakaway and do like a Since You've Been Gone or something like that first. Fun fact, they never ended up doing Since You've Been Gone on the Glee show. So we get My Life Would Suck. And I mean, yeah, it's a Glee performance, but it's really fun. You know, I it's kids bop if it wasn't annoying.
That's the entire summary of the show, the entire series.
Pretty much. Kids bop, but make it not annoying.
Oh, that's funny. The next one, it's funny because we're going to be talking about Piece by Piece. So this is one that Jeremy found. And when I was looking it up on Spotify this morning, there was a version by someone named Stephanie Skipper. Are we sure this is season 14? I have no memory of this artist on Kelly's season, but I guess it was. Probably not Kelly's team. Anyway, there's another voice contestant, also named Stephanie, who also covered the song. And I got so confused. I'm like, did he put the wrong name? It's like, no, they're multiple. So there's Stephanie Skipper and Stephanie Rice. I don't know what season Stephanie Rice is from. Stephanie Rice is a really cool not rock version, but she has a really cool gritty voice. Stephanie Skipper, I don't remember. But I'm sure it was probably nice, but probably very sad.
Stephanie Rice was on season 12 of The Voice.
Okay.
So, and she ended up joining Gwen's team.
Okay.
For that episode, or for that that season.
Her voice is cool. I kind of want to hear more of her stuff.
Yeah, and Stephanie Skipper was on Team Adam, and it was season 14 because I remember she had to perform this song. I think this was actually her blind audition, but they did put out a version of it on streaming. And
doing it in front of Kelly, that's ballsy.
Yeah, and Kelly did come up and congratulate her. Like, there's a photo of them out there hugging on stage. So she obviously appreciated that that this girl did that particular song for her blind audition.
Yeah. Next one is one I'm a little embarrassed that I forgot to include on the initial list. So thank you, Jeremy.
I was shocked that you didn't have this on your list.
I just forgot. It's Second Wind. This is another example, kind of similar to Breakaway, where the artist that wrote it ended up putting a version out after Kelly did. So Maren Morris came out with a version in 2016 on her debut Hero album. I really like it. It's a little different production style. Like, it's, they're both pop, but like Kelly's is definitely a bit more like, I don't know how to explain it.
It's poppier.
It's poppier, yeah.
I mean, Maren's is not super, I mean, hers is definitely more country. And I have to say, I do prefer Kelly's version, but that could just be me being a bigger pop fan than I am a country fan. Yeah. I like country music just fine, but put the songs next to each other, I'm going to listen to Kelly's version every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. Like, I definitely have not ever really gone out to like seek Maren's version, but Maren's great. I like her.
Yeah, I remember I got to see her perform the Maren, that is, I got to see her perform this song live. It was really great, and I do love it when the song comes up if I'm shuffling through my songs, and at least this version came out much sooner than when Avril did her cover of Breakaway. I mean, Maren didn't wait a long time. She only waited about a year before her full-length debut album came out, so... I like both versions, but I tend to like Kelly's better just because of the poppiness of it all.
And it's interesting because, like, okay, Avril and Kelly. So Kelly's is obviously a massive, massive hit. A lot of people knew that Avril wrote it. Not everyone, but a lot of people knew that Avril wrote it. And then she released it 18 years later. Second Wind was a bonus track for Kelly Clarkson. And Maren Morris was... very new. Not a lot of people knew her. So it was just kind of interesting to compare the two of, like, that history.
And, I mean, it was on Maren's, like, proper album. It wasn't, you know, a bonus track or anything like that for her. I mean, it was right there on her album. Now, mind you, it was, you know, one of the last songs on the album. But nonetheless, you know, it wasn't relegated to a bonus track.
Yeah. All right. We got two more songs, but multiple covers for each.
Yes. So let's consider this the encore of this episode.
I like that.
Because we've got the two biggest Kelly songs for covers.
I like that. All right. First one is Since You've Been Gone. It's been covered a lot. First one is by Butch Walker.
Love Butch Walker. I love this cover.
It's fun. It's a live version that he released in 2005. So he was literally performing it like as the song was popular. It's really fun. It's just, you hear the crowd getting into it. I like it a lot.
I have to say, I have actually seen Butch Walker perform this song live.
Really?
Because Butch Walker did a lot of writing with, get this, Avril Lavigne. And early on in her career. And so at one point, and I don't remember which tour it was. I don't know if it was her first or her second album that she was touring, but Avril went out on tour with Butch Walker opening up the show.
Oh, wow.
And I remember for multiple reasons, but one of the reasons I remember is that my friend that I went with to the Avril show, she really wanted to meet Butch Walker, and he was, you know, an opening act. So he's like, hey, I'm going to be out by section 113 after my gig and come see me. So we went out there, we waited in this like giant line to meet Butch Walker. We actually ended up missing the first like two or three songs of Avril's set because we were still waiting to meet him. We were like one of the last people to meet him. But he does a killer version of this song. If you love a really like if you want like a rock version of Since You've Been Gone, like, I mean, Kelly's pop rock is good. Like, if you want like a rock version where he gets a little screamo, check this out because it's a lot of fun.
I almost put the Ted Leo version on here, but I don't think that was released. I think that was just really popular because it's like a pretty popular cover, the Ted Leo one. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's like streaming. So I wanted to include it, but I didn't. I saw Ted Leo a couple months ago and I was praying he was going to do this. He didn't, but it was still cool. It's fine. The next one, arguably, before, you know, Anne Juliet became a thing, the next one, arguably, I think is the most famous cover.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely. It is the cover by A Day to Remember. It was released in 2007. A lot of my friends and a lot of people I went to high school with were like I was cuspy on the emo music. Like, I know a good amount, but I know a lot of people who were like living for that kind of music, and like, this is a really good version. And then it's a little jarring when you get to the second pre-chorus when it just turns into screamo. It's really funny. But this was, it's a really popular version. Overall, it's good. But like, if you're like not into harder rock or like any of that like emo, screamo, hard, don't listen to this. It's probably, you're not going to like it. But they do a really good job. And it's honestly, I think on Spotify, it's like in their top 10 or 15 most popular songs. So,
wow.
Yeah. It's like, it was like a pretty big hit for them.
I had Nixie, I know I probably listened to it when it originally came out, like years ago.
Yeah.
But I had forgotten all about their version of it. And so when I saw it on the list, I thought, I remember listening to this song. And so it was kind of funny to go back and listen to it again. And I'm just like, wow.
Like, that's, whoa. You know, it's like, this was a choice. You like that? Like, screamo? Yeah. It's really funny. I know that's going to be a soundbite that people are going to enjoy. Anyway, moving on. The next version is a version by Tokyo Police Club, not to be confused. I always get them confused with Tokyo Hotel. Uh-huh. Two different bands. Tokyo Hotel had that little mishap with Run, Run, Run. That's a different band. Yes. This is Tokyo Police Club. They have a version released in 2011, another rock version. I like this one a lot. Probably my favorite cover of it.
Interesting.
It's really good. It's like a cool indie rock version. I don't have a lot of other notes, but definitely check it out. I think they did a fantastic job. And admittedly, I didn't know about it until I did research for today. So,
yeah, this, I mean, this one's good. I didn't know about it either until I saw it on your list. I mean, it's, you know, it's a fun rock version of it. It's jarring to hear it sung this way. But it's good. If you want something kind of fun and quirky, go for it.
The next one you may want to talk about because you're the one who brought it up to me.
Yeah, this one was actually good timing, honestly, because it was just announced last week. And if you are like OG Kelly fan, you've been around since, you know, the early days, you know that one of her favorite bands has always been the Toadies. And they were really big in the 90s. They had a big hit with a song called Possum Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And they, if I'm not mistaken, I think they are a Texas band.
Well, that's the whole premise. So I think what they're doing, I read the article. I think what they're doing is they're coming out with like some sort of like album later this year. I may have this slightly wrong, but it's going to be, they're going to be covering a bunch of Texas artists.
Right.
And what song is going to be on there is Since You've Been Gone. So it's not out yet, but it will, it's supposed to be out sometime this year. And I'm really excited. And I'm wondering if Kelly knows about it.
I got to think she does at some level.
I don't know. Not necessarily. Because they don't have to get approval for that.
No.
They don't.
I mean, just until like when the songwriter stuff comes. I mean, yeah. And I think and it's she wasn't like even a songwriter. She wasn't the songwriters. Yeah. But the fact that the Toadies, I mean, this is such a full circle moment. I hope she does know about it, or at the very least, I hope we like get to see when she finds out. The Toadies covering Kelly Clarkson is hilarious because it's just such a full circle moment for her. And I know either she is or is going to be very excited to see them of all bands covering one of her songs.
Absolutely. The next one is one I kind of just briefly mentioned, and we won't get into it too much because I think we did a couple months ago when it came out, but it is the version of Since You've Been Gone from Anne Juliet with Lorna Courtney and the original Broadway cast. Fun fact, you may or may not have seen that Kelly and Lorna actually duetted on this a few weeks ago on the Kelly Clarkson Show as the Kellyoke. And they actually have really good harmonies together. Like I wasn't in love with the studio version. I thought it was good, but I listened to it maybe twice. They like sound pretty good together live. Like they contrast each other really well.
They really do. Yeah.
It was kind of funny though, listening to Kelly have to sing it this way. Cause she's like, you know, I was waiting to hear like, now that that loser's gone. And she like, can't do that. She has to be like, since you've been gone. I'm like, oh, you have to actually sing the real version. But yeah, they did a really good job.
Yeah. And props to Lorna Courtney and the show and Juliet, because I believe they have a handful of Tony nominations. I know she got nominated. The song itself, I don't think they nominate individual songs in the Tony Awards. I don't recall if they do or not. I don't think so. So this song obviously did not get nominated, but there are several nominations for the show and Juliet itself, including some for Lauren and Courtney. So wishing them luck because, I mean, obviously this is a show we sort of feel strongly about since it's using a bit of Kelly's music. And Kelly was the only artist invited to do a duet on the original cast recording with the Broadway cast. So that was kind of cool. So yeah, I hope that they do well at the Tony Awards this year.
Same.
Our last two little mentions of Since You've Been Gone. We don't have a ton to say about it other than we just want to make sure that we mention that they happened. And that is, first of all, Pentatonix, who are good friends with Kelly. They've toured together. They've sung together on multiple occasions. They have their own version of Since You've Been Gone that was on the show The Sing-Off when Pentatonix was on that show.
I don't know if I've heard and, this.
Yeah, they did it as a mashup with like another song.
Oh.
I want to say it was like a Bruno Mars song maybe. I could be wrong. I forget right off the top of my head what the song was, but either way, they kind of mashed it up with another tune, and it sounds cool. It's Pentatonix, so you know they obviously sound really good.
Yeah. The next one, or the last one rather, for the Since You've Been Gone section is Jill and Kate actually did a version, I think 2014, for their acoustic covers. I don't know if it was an album or an EP, but yeah, they put this on there, and it's like it. You know, when we hear Kelly do like Since You've Been Gone acoustic, it's still pretty upbeat. This is like stripped down, like almost like sad Since You've Been Gone. So it's a really cool, interesting take on it. It's there. It's on streaming. It's cool. So I highly recommend listening to that.
Yeah. And obviously Jill and Kate worth mentioning with their history with Kelly. So we couldn't leave them off of the list of all of the notable covers of Since You've Been Gone. And again, you know, this is just a small sample of the amount of covers that are out there. There are a ton of covers. I think Since You've Been Gone was the most covered song that I found. And Stronger, which we're going to talk about next, that is the second most covered Kelly song.
Yeah. I don't remember this, to be honest, but I guess it was also on Glee. I have no notes because I don't recall this and I didn't listen. My bad.
I'm trying to think if I was still watching Glee when it got to season 3 and they did Stronger. I watched a clip of it for this. And I think they even put it on one of their cast albums that came out.
Oh.
So if you have those, you know, look it up. You might still have it laying around somewhere. But either way, yeah, I mean, again, it's Glee, so it is what it is. The next version of Stronger, I put this on the list simply because of the notoriety of one of the singers. And that is Sam Palladio and Evan Rachel Wood. I know a lot of you probably know her from her movies. They did a movie called Strange Magic, which I don't think I've ever heard of.
Oh, me neither.
But it's part of another medley, and I didn't recognize the other song that they mashed it up with. But it is part of this like little mini song medley that came out back in 2015. I got to be honest, I didn't listen to this. I just thought it was interesting because I'm like, wow, Evan Rachel Wood covered Stronger out of all the things that she has sung as part of her acting career. She did Stronger. So if you're interested, if you're a fan of Evan Rachel Wood, check it out.
Yeah, I'm not familiar. Like, I don't remember this, so I have to check it out. The last three on our list, we're going to like, let's group them together. Various voice people.
Yes.
Covering this. The first one is someone named Jocelyn Rivera from season 3. Then we have Tessan Chin season 5 and Corinne Hawthorne season 8. Now, I don't really know any of these very well, but I remember a couple months ago, I don't know what time it is, Corinne Hawthorne, I mentioned in one of our episodes, it was our voice episode, because she performed with Kelly that season on I'd Rather Go Blind. And I remember saying I really liked her voice. So she also did Stronger, and I have to listen to it. But yeah, I don't really have any notes on the others. I don't know them very well. I think it's really hard to cover this song because it's very, and I'm not saying anyone here like specifically, I just mean in general, it's really easy to make this sound like a karaoke cover. So
agreed.
Just the way that the song is set up, it's very difficult to make it. Like, even if Kelly covered it, if this was not her song and she covered it, there's a good chance that it could sound very karaoke. I don't know why that is, but it's just the way that the song is. Do you get what I'm saying?
I think it's something to do with like anthemic songs like this.
Maybe.
Where, you know, unless you are the original person that's delivering the message, everything else is going to sound like a cover afterwards.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, I think you have to sort of blame the success and the writing of the song for the reason why everybody else's version sounds like a cover and sounds like karaoke.
Exactly. So anyway, guys, that is our list. There's probably a lot more out there, but we chose what we thought were like, maybe like the most notable acts and maybe the most familiar names. But let us know out of our list what your favorites are, what your thoughts are, if we missed any like really obvious ones, which there's a good chance we did. Let us know. You can find us on all the social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Miss Ind Podcast. As always, if you listen on the Spotify app, we would love if you left a rating there. And there's also a fun little feature now where you can leave feedback on our episodes. If you have any thoughts on the topic, on suggestions, on whatever that might be, you can leave those there. And also, if you listen on the Apple Podcast app, we would really appreciate if you haven't yet. Leaving a rating and or review helps other Kelly fans find us a bit easier. Yeah, I think that's about it, right?
I think that's about it. We will hope to hear and see you guys next week for another brand new episode. And until then, we'll see you then.
Bye.
You've been listening to Miss Ind Podcast, the Kelly Clarkson fan podcast. Miss Ind Podcast was written and produced by Jeremy and Pam. Remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you'll be the first to know when a new podcast is posted. Continue the conversation by following the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Miss Indie Podcast. Send us your questions and comments to missindiepodcast@gmail.com.